Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you our program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The episode of Bhajan Classroom you will be listening now was first aired on August 23, 2012, as a live program on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony as part of our Thursday live programs from the studios of Radio Sai.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. And dear listeners, just this morning, I was listening to the Amity stream on Radio Sai and heard the recent conversation between Professor Venkatraman and Mr. V. Srinivasan. The latter was saying that even though devotees experience Bhagwan in their lives wherever they are, in whichever corner of the world they may be, still they make a visit to Prashanthi Nilayam because just being here in this heavenly hamlet, even for a day, recharges their spiritual batteries. And how true it is. Living in Prashanthi Nilayam, I see this happen every single day. Other day, one classmate of mine who was here after many years, he told me just the same thing. It is just so refreshing to be in Prashanthi. Yesterday, I received an email from one Mrs. Vasanthi Sundaram, a Radio Sai volunteer. She was in Prashanthi for a day very recently, and her mail said something beautiful. I quote, "This was my first visit to Parthi after Baba's Mahasamadhi. So I was filled with mixed thoughts about how I would connect with an ambience that is devoid of Swami's physical presence. I needed much willpower to consciously avoid reading too much into my anxiety in order to stay calm. However, when I approached the Sai Kulwant Hall for the prayer session that morning, my heartbeat grew faster. Once I was ushered into my place, I barely focused on the Vedic chants. Instead, I stared at the large portraits of Swami displayed all over the hall. And it just took one look at the portrait right over Mahasamadhi to convince me of Bhagwan's unmistakable and watchful presence over us. My nerves instantly calmed down, and with each crescendo that the chants and bhajan struck, my communion with the Lord grew more and more intense until I could no longer hold back my tears. I allowed them to roll down even as I joined the chorus. I knew they were tears of relief, of joy, of gratitude. How could we ever say that Swami is no more when He is the very air we breathe and the very hand we hold? And as I placed my head on the Mahasamadhi and kissed the marble, the connect with my Bhagwan was complete. Interestingly, I watched my mood undergo a dramatic shift through the evening prayer session. It was simply elating and uplifting. On my way back to Bangalore, I stopped by a few of the shops outside Prashanthi Nilayam. And contrary to media reports that business is lull and has taken a backseat since Swami's Mahasamadhi, I noticed brisk activity with each shop crowded with eager devotees. The roads had the same jams with cars crawling back to back. The super speciality hospital had a line of hopeful patients seeking free treatment. Parthi wore none of the desolation one is led to believe by the media. Now that I am in Dubai, the visit to Parthi seems like a dream. I cannot help thinking that life is so full of such fleeting yet fulfilling moments. Fulfilling because although it was for just a day that I was in Prashanthi, I received enough energy to sustain me for the next few months until Swami calls me again for a recharge." So that is the reflection of Mrs. Vasanthi Sundaram. That is the magic of Prashanthi Nilayam. And before we proceed further, dear listeners, let us first offer our grateful and prayerful salutations to our beloved Bhagwan, the Puttaparthi Shat Chakravarti, for being with us, for guiding us, and for loving us like no one else can ever can. And it's time for Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The bhajan we will be learning today is one adoring Lord Sai as Lord Ganesha. Lord Ganesha, that fascinating, enchanting form of the Lord which has captured the imagination of people not only from India but from distant lands like Cambodia, Java, Bali and so on. No one knows since when. Right from the Vedic times, Lord Ganesha is worshipped. And more importantly, there's plenty of significance to each aspect of this mysterious and magnificent elephant face of the Eternal One. And we will explore more as we go along in this program. So the bhajan we are learning today is लंबोदरा गणनाथ गजानन. Once all the students pleaded with Bhagwan to come to the hostel during Ganesh Chaturthi celebrations. This happened sometime in September 1991. Swami, please come to the hostel. Please Swami, come to the hostel. And Swami said, what is there in the hostel? In the hostel, there is only Mrinmaya Ganesha. Ganesha made of mud. And pointing to himself, he said, this is Chinmaya Ganesha. Chinmaya meaning the embodiment of eternal bliss. And then he added, I am within you, around you, in front of you, behind you, above you and below you. So that is the revelation and assurance direct from the divine. On another discourse, while speaking to the students in the hostel, Baba said, there is a special significance in placing Vigneshwara in the forefront before embarking on any undertaking. In a forest, when an elephant moves through the jungle, it clears the way for others to follow. Likewise, by invoking Ganesha, the path is cleared for our undertakings. The elephant's foot is so large that when it moves, it stamps out the footprints of any other animal. Here again, the symbolic meaning is that all obstacles in the way will be removed when Ganesha is accorded the place of honor. The journey of life is made smoother and happier by the grace of Lord Ganesha. So dear listeners, let us invoke this Lord Ganesha and begin this bhajan classroom by first becoming familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan, and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga, the tala, and finally the meaning of every line of this bhajan. And after this, we're going to have a short conversation with someone who has been in the Prashanti Bhajan group for more than a decade. And he has had plenty of wonderful opportunities of divine interaction and guidance. So all that is coming up later in the program. He's Neeraj Acharya. He's there with us now listening to the program. But we'll come to him later. And now let's start with the lyrics of Lambodara Gananatha Gajanana.
Lambodara Gananatha Gajanana Parvati Nandana Shubhanana Pashupati Tanaya Siddhi Vinayaka Pranavakara Shambho Nandana Parti Purisha Pahi Gajanana Parvati Nandana Shubhanana.
And now it's time for learning to sing this bhajan. Please do listen carefully to Brother Ravi Kumar as he sings every line slowly without any musical accompaniments. And when Brother Amay follows him after every line, please sing along. So here is the tune for you.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale D Madhyam. Lambodara गणनाथ गजानन
लंबोदरा गणनाथ गजानन
लंबोदरा गणनाथ गजानन
लंबोदरा गणनाथ गजानन
पार्वती नंदन शुभानना
पार्वती नंदन शुभानना
पार्वती नंदन शुभानना
पार्वती नंदन शुभानना
पशुपति तनया सिद्धि विनायक
पशुपति तनया सिद्धि विनायक
पशुपति तनया सिद्धि विनायक
पशुपति तनया सिद्धि विनायक
प्रणवाकारा शंभो नंदना
प्रणवाकारा शंभो नंदना ಶಂಭೋ ನಂದನ ಪ್ರಣವಾಕಾರ ಶಂಭೋ ನಂದನ
ಪರ್ತಿಪುರೀಶ ಪಾಹಿ ಗಜಾನನ
ಪರ್ತಿಪುರೀಶ ಪಾಹಿ ಗಜಾನನ
ಪರ್ತಿಪುರೀಶ ಪಾಹಿ ಗಜಾನನ
ಪರ್ತಿಪುರೀಶ ಪಾಹಿ ಗಜಾನನ
ಪಾರ್ವತಿ ನಂದನ ಶುಭಾನನ
ಪಾರ್ವತಿ ನಂದನ ಶುಭಾನನ
ಪಾರ್ವತಿ ನಂದನ ಶುಭಾನನ
ಪಾರ್ವತಿ ನಂದನ ಶುಭಾನನ
ಲಂಬೋದರ ಗಣನಾಥ ಗಜಾನನ.
So that was the tune by Brother Ravi Kumar and Amay, and the connoisseurs of music will want to know in which raga is this bhajan based, and for that we have now in the studio with us Brother Ashwath Narayan. Welcome Ashwath to this program.
Saram.
Saram Ashwath, please tell us in which raga is this bhajan composed.
This bhajan is set to rag Charukeshi. The second line of the bhajan does not fall under Charukeshi, but most 98% of the bhajan it comes under Charukeshi. There are so many bhajans in this rag.
Jagadishwari daya karo ma Aruna Ramana Shri Guru Deva Parteshwara Satya Saishwara Shri Ramachandra.
So, yeah, so many verses.
And what are these swaras of this raga?
Sa re ga ma pa da ni sa sa re da pa ma ga re sa ha ra.
Actually, this Lambodara bhajan is set to Madhyam Shruti. So that's what I am continuing, the same scale.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have all the swaras coming both in the Arohan and Avrohan. This rag is called Charukeshi. Contains that pathos feeling, that virah, that dard feeling is very much imminent in this.
Yeah, very obvious.
There are so many songs in this rag. Many film songs, many devotional songs. One such very popular Malayalam film song is
Agale Agale Neelagasham Na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
There's many, many songs are there which this rag and there's lot of feelings it.
Pathos especially. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Ashwath. So that was Ashwath, who is pursuing his PhD now in the university and also teaching, and you'll find him in almost every Mandir music program performed by the students. Even recent in the Ramzan program, he was singing along with the boys. He's a class apart and he's guiding the boys in their music pursuits in the hostel. Thank you, Ashwath. So now that we have learned the tune and the raga, coming to the tala of this bhajan, it is the usual 8-beat Kairava tal, which in Carnatic music is the Aditalam. And now let's move on to understanding the underlying feeling with which we must sing this bhajan. And this is very important because bhava or feeling with which we sing is so pertinent. Singing without feeling is almost like a body without a soul. If our music has to reach the Lord, it has to be suffused with sincere devotion. And for this, understanding what the bhajan conveys is so important. So let's start with the first line.
Lambodara ಗಣನಾಥ ಗಜಾನನ
ಲಂಬೋದರ ಗಣನಾಥ ಗಜಾನನ.
ಲಂಬೋದರ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಎ ಪೊಟ್ರುಡಿಂಗ್ ಬೆಲಿ. Now there are many ways of understanding this facet of Lord Ganesha's form. For devout worshippers of Lord Ganesha, this round belly signifies the world, the entire universe is contained within it. Another way of looking at it is Lord Ganesha can stomach anything. He is one of great serenity and equanimity. He can swallow all the sorrows of the universe. He is the all-protecting Lord. But what Bhagwan mentioned in a discourse on Ganesh Chaturthi Day in 1994 is that Lambodara means one who is the guardian of wealth. And what kind of wealth? It is all wealth and prosperity, not only in terms of money. Swami said, wealth here means sukha and ananda. So Ganesha is the guardian of peace and bliss. That is why he is Lambodara. The second word, Gananatha, can be split into Gana, referring to the various Ganas who are a class of divine entities who constitute the army of Lord Ganesha, and Natha meaning leader or master. Gananatha means the ruler of the Ganas. If we dwell deeper, Baba says, Ganas represent our sense organs along with the mind and the intellect. Ga also stands for intellect, and Na means Vijnana or higher knowledge. Therefore, Gananatha truly means the Lord of the intellect and higher knowledge. And in this sense, Lord Ganesha is present within each person as intellect and wisdom, and is not merely an external fascinating form. The third word is Gajanana. Gaja indicates elephant and Anana denotes face. So Gajanana means the one whose face is like that of an elephant. Now what does the elephant head of Lord Ganesha connote? In a discourse again on Ganesh Chaturthi Day in 1994, Baba said the elephant has profound intelligence. For example, Sai Gita, which is Baba's pet elephant, came running when it heard the sound of Swami's car approaching. Though many cars were following Swami's car, Sai Gita could unmistakably identify Swami's car from an uncanny recognition of the sound of the car. That is what is called Gajatalivi, which is the elephant's intelligence. Swami said, one who has a sharp brain is described as having the intelligence of an elephant. It is called Medha Shakti. So in this light, we praise the munificent elephant-faced Lord Ganesha, who is the pot-bellied one, the reservoir of happiness and bliss, the ruler of the Ganas, the master of our minds and intellect. We move on to the second line.
Parvati Nandana Shubhanana.
Parvati Nandana Shubhanana.
Parvati Nandana, the one who is the son of Mother Parvati. In fact, there are many legends describing the birth of Lord Ganesha. It is said that once when Mother Parvati was preparing to have a bath and she wanted someone to stand as a guard, what she did was she took a little turmeric paste that she had applied on her body and created an image of a boy and then breathed life into this little boy, and thus was born little Ganesha. Lord Ganesha, her loyal son, did guard her sincerely, and so sincere was he that even when Lord Shiva, the consort of Mother Parvati, wanted to enter inside, he did not allow him. And there ensued a battle between Shiva and Ganesha, resulting in Lord Shiva beheading, unknowingly, his own son. And then the story goes that when Mother Parvati saw this, she was inconsolable, and Shiva approached Brahma, who suggested that he replace Ganesha's head with the first living being that came his way, which lay with its head facing north. Shiva then sent his disciples to find and take the head of whichever creature they happened to find asleep with his head facing north. They found a dying elephant which slept in this manner, and so after its death, they took its head and, attaching the elephant's head to Lord Ganesha's body, brought Ganesha back to life. And from then on, he was called Ganapati, and Shiva made him the leader of all celestial armies. And that is why he is called Vinayaka, the supreme leader, the one who has no master above him. And who is the one who has no master? Baba says, one who has stilled the mind cannot have any master. So that is the mysterious origin of Lord Ganesha, and more importantly, the significance behind each appellation of him. The last word in this line is Shubhanana, which comes from Shubha, which means auspicious, and Anana, which means face. So Shubhanana means the one whose face is ever auspicious. So in this line, we hail Lord Ganesha as the beloved son of Mother Parvati, and the one whose face always radiates supreme auspiciousness. We move on to the third line.
Pashupati Tanaya Siddhi Vinayaka
Pashupati Tanaya Siddhi Vinayaka.
Pashupati is another name of Lord Shiva. And who is Pashu? The one who has animal qualities. Pati means ruler. All of us with various degrees of negative qualities within us are in some way Pashu in terms of the animal qualities that we have in us, and Lord Shiva is considered as one who can subdue or rule over these negative traits, and that's why he is the Pashupati who lords over us. And the second word is Tanaya, which means son. So Pashupati Tanaya refers to the one who is the darling son of Lord Shiva. Siddhi, the third word, refers to spiritual wisdom. And Vinayaka, we already discussed, the one who has no leader. In one discourse, Baba said, because of the purity of his intellect, Vinayaka is also called the giver of Buddhi. And he responds to the prayers of devotees, and hence he is known as Siddhi Vinayaka, the Vinayaka who grants what is sought. There is a humorous interaction which is recorded by Professor Venkatraman, which he had with Baba some time ago in the Mandir veranda. One day Swami, after his group interviews in the morning, came out, and as he was walking in the lower veranda, he said, no Buddhi, no intelligence. And then he looked at Professor Venkatraman and said, you too, no Buddhi, no intelligence. And Professor Venkatraman smiled, he didn't know what to say. He said, yes Bhagavan, that is true. Please give me Buddhi, and along with it also Siddhi, which is purity. And then Baba said, Buddhi and Siddhi? Why are you asking me? You ask Ganesha. See, I don't have a trunk. So saying, Baba curled his arm to make it look like a trunk, almost saying that, see, I am not Ganesha. And when Sir said, Swami, you are Vinayaka, are you not? Swami simply smiled. So that was a sweet interaction where Bhagwan subtly told us that we should worship Lord Ganesha for Siddhi and Buddhi, and at the same time know that be it Lord Ganesha or Sai, it is all one. So coming back to the meaning of this line, Pashupati Tanaya Siddhi Vinayaka, we adore Lord Ganesha as the son of Lord Shiva, the bestower of wisdom. He is also the ultimate leader, the one who has no master above him, the one whose mind is eternally still. We move on to the fourth line.
Pranavakara Shambho Nandana.
Pranavakara Shambho Nandana.
Pranavakara comes from pranava, referring to the mystic sound Om, the sound of creation, and akara means form. So Ganesha is the lord of sound, and whose form is that of Om. Once Baba said, some people think that Vinayaka is worshipped only in India, only in Bharat, but the Vinayaka principle is all pervasive and is worshipped by all. People may follow different paths, but all can experience the Vinayaka principle. And how? This Vinayaka principle is present in everyone in the form of breath. And then he went on to add, man cannot live without air. It is his life principle. Ganesha symbolizes prana, the life principle. In the same discourse, Swami elaborated, in the science of pranayama, the inhalation of breath is called puraka, exhalation is called rechaka, and retention of breath is called kumbhaka. You can attain the state of dhyana only when the duration of inhalation, exhalation and retention are equal. The three main aspects in the practice of pranayama can be learnt by the grace of Vinayaka, Swami said. So that is why Ganesha is hailed as Pranavakara. The second word, Shambho, is another name of Lord Shiva, and Shambho Nandana means the son of Lord Shiva. So in this line, we hail Lord Ganesha as the very embodiment of the primordial sound, the sound of creation, Om, and also as the benevolent son of Lord Shiva. Let's move on to the fifth line.
Parti Purisha Pahi Gajanana.
Parti Purisha Pahi Gajanana.
Parti Purisha is derived from Partipuri and Isha. Partipuri refers to the one who resides in the holy hamlet of Puttaparthi, and Isha means the Lord. So Parti Purisha refers to the Lord of Puttaparthi, and Pahi means protect. Elaborating on the form of Lord Ganesha, Baba once said that the big ears of Lord Ganesha emphasize the importance of Shravanam, or listening to the glory of the Lord, which is in fact the first step in one's spiritual sadhana in the 9 steps of devotion. And after Shravana comes Manana and Nididhyasana. Ruminating and meditating comes after we have listened. So listening is so important. And in this line, Parthi Purisha Pahi Gajanana, we pray to Lord Sai, the Lord of Puttaparthi, to protect us. In fact, there's a very sweet incident concerning Ganesh Chaturthi celebrations and Bhagwan. Once in the 70s, when the boys in Vrindavan wanted to make clay idols of Lord Ganesha for the festival, the warden there suggested that they give up the idea because clay idols develop cracks after some time. Now, the boys still wanted to do but had no clue how to proceed without permission. And then suddenly something interesting happened. The warden was summoned by Swami, so he went to Prashantinilayam. And Swami talked to him about many things, and in the end he asked, "So how are the boys celebrating Ganesh Chaturthi this year?" And the warden said, "Swami, I have told the boys that we will buy the idols and not do the idols because the idols develop cracks." Swami said, No. Let the boys make the idols. That is how it is done traditionally. Since Vedic times, people have been making idols and then worshipping." So now the permission was granted, but by the time this news came, there was only 5 or 6 days left for the festival. So the boys immediately selected an exclusive place in the hostel, which is a restricted place, and placed 4 bricks and put a platform so that they can begin the work with right earnest with the clay. And just then a rat came from nowhere and went under the platform. The boys did not bother much. They continued to work, they finished the statue, celebrations were over, and after a few days, Bhagwan came, and the first thing he asked, "Boys, how was Ganesh Puja?" And the student said, "Swami, it was very nice." And then Baba immediately asked, "I sent one rat, did it come?" So that was Bhagwan. That is the omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent Sai Ganesha, and that is Parthi Puri Pahi Ganesha. So let's move on to the last line.
Parvati Nandana Shubhanana.
Parvati Nandana Shubhanana.
Repeat of an earlier line of this bhajan, and in this line we hail Lord Ganesha as the supremely auspicious son of Mother Parvati, the one who is always showering his choicest blessings upon us and clearing the obstacles in our path. With that, dear listeners, we have completed understanding the meaning of all the lines in this bhajan, and now let us listen to the full version of the bhajan with this understanding. Let us picturize this beautiful, fascinating form of Lord Ganesha bestowing on us spiritual wisdom, clearing the paths, the obstacles on our spiritual journey, and sing this bhajan once again along with the students of Baba's University. Here is the Prashanti Mandir version of this bhajan.
Lambodara Gananath Gajanana. Parvati Nandana Shubhanana. Pashupati Janaya Siddhi Vinayaka. Pashupati Janaya Siddhi Vinayaka. पशुपति तनया सिद्धि विनायक
So that was Ashwath and Sujit singing together this bhajan in the mandir. And now, dear listeners, it is time for this promised conversation with Brother Neeraj Acharya. Welcome, Brother Neeraj, to the studios of Radio Sai.
Sai Ram, thank you. It's a great privilege.
So tell us, how did you happen to become a member of the Prashanti Bhajan group? You have been now playing in front of Bhagwan for more than 10 years, but what was the origin? What was the genesis?
If I have to recount the greatest blessings in my life, I would say the first one, the greatest, is that I got an opportunity to be a Sai student, a Swami student. And the second one in my rating will be that I was a Sai student in the music group.
Yes.
Because I say that actually music group are the Swami's pampered students. He plays, he gives a lot of attention and chances.
You play for him and he plays with you.
Exactly. He loves to play.
Yes.
He plays tabla on us. And I joined Swami's college in 95. And before that I had learned tabla and I used to play in Bombay before I came to Puttaparthi. And in those days, the tradition, the protocol was that if a boy has to join bhajan group, he has to take the permission from the supreme master, that is our Swami. So for first few months, I was little hesitant to ask because I wanted to ensure that I am in my good, good rhythm, my hands are moving right before I seek permission, because I consider that playing in front of Swami is one of the greatest privilege any musicians can have or any singer can have, to sing in front of the embodiment of the divinity which was with us in physical form. So first 3-4 months I practiced and ensured that my hands are in good shape. And somewhere in month of October, I decided to seek permission. And I was not very sure how to converse with Swami at that point, because I was very new to the system. So I used a very simple approach. I made a small card, a palm-sized card, not even a big card. And I wrote these words. I said, "Dearest Mother Sai, if you permit, can I play tabla in bhajan?" And I sat one afternoon with that card, and Swami came for darshan. As usual, he didn't look at me in the first round when he came for darshan. He went inside, then there was an interview session. And when he came out for second round, I was fortunate, he came out. And this was, in fact, on the Ganesh portico. You might remember, Vishu, that
yes.
Time we used to sit in front of the Ganesha.
Yes, yes.
Where the present samadhi is.
Yes.
So I was sitting there, I think, in the first line. And Swami came, and I just showed that card. And Swami came, read the card, and that beautiful smile that he gave, I mean, I
wow.
can never forget. I mean, that is something that anybody can die for. And he just, by a glance, he indicated, "Go in, Wow. And start. And later, much later did I realize that actually he had a great message in that. It was not just a permission to play in a bhajan session. But when I read what Swami wants bhajans to be, he wants us that when you do bhajans, you go within. Mm-hmm. So go in. When you do bhajans, go in.
Go in.
And become one with him. And if that is the intention, if that is the outcome, if we can achieve, that's what Swami wants from the bhajan sessions. And that was a great lesson which I didn't realize at that point of time, but much later it occurred to me that Swami probably gave that message before I started and participated in the bhajan group.
And it really has helped you in that journey of going inward?
Oh, no doubt about it. 100% I can say. And it has made a remarkable impact on my life. And I would say that music is so divine. You know, they say that, you know, God is Gana Priya. And we could see, I mean, all of us who have been in the music group, we know that we have seen an embodiment of, you know, Swami who was a Gana Priya. And I consider, and I have heard this from all, most of the great musicians, that for them music is like a worship. For them it is a form of devotion. You mentioned sometime back before the bhajan session that, you know, how bhava is important.
Yes.
And if that bhava comes in whatever music that we participate, be it singing or percussion or any instrument, that is what is critical. And what I felt that once we participate in a music session with that bhava, that we are doing a worship to the Lord, that makes a remarkable difference. And I will give you an instance how that occurred to me. Being a tabla student, I am a great fan of Ustad Zakir Hussain ji. And once I was watching one concert of his on a video, and in that concert, when he's playing, you can see one head moving in front of him. That is a photographer. He moves around and clicks photos. And we could see that Zakir Bhai gets disturbed in that. So after he plays his composition, he takes the mic and gives a wonderful, I would not call it banging, though it appeared to be. He gave a great message, and that message was very important for me. And I will share it. It is in Hindi, and maybe we can just translate into English also. He says, आपको मालूम है जब हम इधर प्रोग्राम बजाने आते हैं तो सबसे पहले सरस्वती वंदना याद करके आते हैं. आपने सुनी है या कुंदे इंदु तुषार हार धवला. He says that. So
Zakir Hussain,
Zakir Bhai. Yeah, and I was amazed. I mean, I have been brought up in a traditional Hindu family for such a long time, but let me confess, I didn't do that before I started my practice, and that was a great lesson. Then he says one more thing. He says, जैसे कि आप तिरुपति में जाएंगे आप बिल्कुल मंदिर के अंदर जाके आपको फोटो खींचना अलाउड नहीं है. यू कैन गो टू तिरुपति राइट इन द सैंक्टम सैंक्टोरम एंड स्टार्ट क्लिकिंग फोटोज बिकॉज दिस इज अ प्लेस ऑफ वर्शिप. दैट इज द फीलिंग विद विच ही और आई वुड से एनी ग्रेट म्यूजिशियन दे बिकम ग्रेट और दे बिकम सो रिनोन्ड बिकॉज ऑफ देयर द फीलिंग विद विच दे प्ले. एंड आई रियलाइज वन थिंग दैट इफ वी कैन ब्रिंग दैट फीलिंग विद इन अवरसेल्व्स व्हेन वी participate in these sessions, that makes a lot of difference, and it allows us to grow spiritually. It becomes a sort of a meditation for us to grow spiritually. And taking a clue from that, much later also I realized this occurred to me, especially after April 2011. And I'm practicing that, and I thought I can share with the listeners if we have time.
Yeah, we do.
What I felt was, earlier when we were in the bhajan group, no, our one focus and the only focus was our beloved Swami, who used to be there in front of us, sitting there and waving his hands and giving that wonderful beat, and it was beautiful. I mean, there's something which is there in the memory I can cherish till my last breath. Post 2011, what I find is when I sit in the Sai Kulwant Hall and when I see that chair, I'm somehow used, very, very fond of that bhajan hall sessions, no? Where we used to sit about just 4 or 5 feet away from Swami, and no, you sing, they say that, no, you, when you sing with devotion, the Lord appears in the form. Here the Swami was there in the flesh and blood right in front of us. Even if maybe we didn't have the bhava, but he was there in front of us. So when I look at that chair in placed in Sai Kulwant Hall, I always go into that nostalgia, those moments where we could see Swami, and I can see him there sitting on the chair. And before we start Omkaram, as if he signals, yes, start the bhajan. And before starting the Omkara, I make a small prayer that, you know, Swami, that it's a silent prayer, of course, that Swami, we are all here. Your students, your chosen music group students who are here to devote this session, bhajan session, for you. And if through this session, the way we present it, if we can, you can develop that bhava, not only within us, but also produce in such a way that it can, that same bhava can come in the whole gathering which is there around us. And if all of us can pray to you with the bottom of our heart, no, the devotion, that love that we have, that would be our a beautiful offering to you as this bhajan session. And allow us to present it in that form. And it's you that you have to do it. We are not capable of doing that ourselves. Like, I feel that when we play on a tabla, the sound comes from tabla and then it is transmitted through the mic system on the speakers. So there should be somebody to play to produce the sound. Similarly, I felt that even for us, we are actually exactly like those instruments. We need to have Swami playing through us or Swami singing through us. If that bhava comes, I found that it makes remarkable difference in the way we, I would say, the way we participate in the bhajan session. And that becomes a great spiritual elevating session, which I have really enjoyed having that sort of a devotional feeling, what exactly you mentioned, the bhava. It really brings out that bhava before we start the bhajan session. So that's something which really has helped me. And I found that when you do that, the whole group comes out with, you know, great energy and spirits, especially in the morning time when we have a smaller crowd. I always pray, Swami, just help us that, you know, we are a smaller crowd. You have to sing through us. You have to play through us so that, you know, the whole gathering becomes one with us and we can present a beautiful bouquet of our love in the form of these versions to you. And that makes a lot of difference. That's my personal experience.
Wonderful. One last question. What would you like to advise to aspiring musicians, aspiring percussionists, especially those, you know, who want to be participate in the bhajan sessions in various samitis and sai centers all over the world?
What I have gathered, I can share from what my experience says, is as a musician, we need to practice. That is something which is a prerequisite. However, along with the practice, we need to have prayers. If we can pray to our Lord, like how I was talking about Zakir Bhai. For us, Saraswati was in the form of our, in the form of our beloved Swami. If we pray to him, so the prayer along with our practice, if we do that and do whatever we do, whether it is singing or any instrument that we play, do it as an offering to the Lord. He will take over and he will ensure that whatever comes out from your lips as a singing or through your fingers as your tabla player or whatever, it comes out in the best of its forms. And as we were going through the bhajan tutor session, the pranava is within us through our breath. And the breath also has a rhythm. If we can focus on that, and probably for a percussionist, my suggestion, what helped me was if you practice with a metronome, so that you can always know that sort of gets ingrained your into your conscience. So if you can practice with a metronome, that helps you to really stay in a particular rhythm that is necessary for bhajans, which was so important. Swami used to always know, so critical about indicating if there is something which is going plus or minus. So if you do that, practice, prayers, and the offering to the Lord, that's enough.
That would wonderful. Once you practice and once you have prayer, I think then you become pure. And once you become pure, along with purity, practice and prayers, you become a pure channel of the Lord. And that is when what you refer to as you become an instrument.
Exactly.
Trying to play an instrument, you also become an instrument of the Lord. Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing these insights. And I hope we will have more sessions with you in the days to come in future sessions of Bhajan Classroom. Because what you have experienced in this last 10 years or so are such lovely moments. And we need to document this for posterity as well as share with our Sai brothers and sisters, because which is so important. To convert our bhajan sessions into sessions of spiritual sadhana. Thank you so much, brother.
Sai Ram, it was a pleasure.
Sai Ram. You are listening to an episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This was first aired on August 23rd, 2012 as a live program on Asia Stream as part of our Thursday live programs. Thank you and Sai Ram.